From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line with today's host, Father Wade Menezes. In North America, call toll-free 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
A tremendous Tuesday to each and every one of you. Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN's Open Line. Father Wade Menezes is in the house, literally in the house today in the studios here at EWTN in beautiful Irondale, Alabama. If you'd like to be part of the program, grab one of these open phone lines. The number's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, we'd still love to hear from you. That number is 1-205-271-2985, and we'll even put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. And you can always send us an email. That email address is openline@ewtn.com. I'm Jack Williams, Michael McCall producing the program. Your call screener is Matt Gubensky, and Ace McKay handling our social media efforts. So if you're watching us on YouTube or Facebook Live, you can type a question into the chat window, and it may find its way to us by the end of the program. And our host, the aforementioned Father Wade Menezes, how are you?
Doing great, Jack, and I like your patriotic shirt there on this day.
Desperate times call for desperate measures, my friend.
I chose to be more subdued, as you can see.
I hope that's no reflection of what my mood's going to be at the end of the day. So, Father Wade, I'm coming to the conclusion that you're hung up on the Saints.
Oh, I love the Saints. And, you know, this month of November, although it's set aside by Holy Mother Church in a special way for All Holy Souls, we kick it all off on November 1st with the great Solemnity of All Saints, which has us think not only of the Church's doctrine of the invocation and veneration of saints, which is collectively called the intercession of the saints, it calls to mind the three states of the Church and how there's a great communication going on between those three states of the Church. That is, the members of the Church triumphant already in heaven, the members of the Church militant still living on earth, those of us still fighting the good fight against evil through our baptism and confirmation sustained by regular Eucharist and penance, and then, of course, the members of the Church suffering, also known as the members of the Church penitent, the members of the Church purgative, and the members of the Church expectant, because they are expected in heaven following their purification, huh? So I want to talk just about the veneration and invocation, Jack, of the members of the Church triumphant today as we progress through this month of November. You know, after the doctrines surrounding the Virgin Mary, the Catholic doctrine of the intercession of the saints, and the practices associated with it, that is, our invocation of them, asking for their help, and our veneration of them, giving honor to them, may elicit more challenges from non-Catholic Christians and any other topic, excluding the Orthodox here, who agree with us on the doctrine of the intercession of the saints. In fact, Mary's often the gateway to this doctrine. For example, when we hear the question, why do Catholics worship Mary? It's often asked, why go to Mary when you can go straight to Jesus, huh? Challenges to the invocation of the saints tend to be of two types. Some challenges are based on the idea that it's not appropriate for Christians to request that the saints pray for them, either because it takes away from the uniqueness of Jesus' mediation, or God outright forbids it as an abominable practice. Other challenges are more practical. Some Christians may think that in principle, requesting that the saints pray for us could be appropriate, but it's futile to do so because the souls in heaven aren't able to intercede for us. Then in regards to the veneration of the saints, just as such, if not more of a, is more of a concern for non-Catholic Christians. Sometimes the issue is the idea of veneration itself. Other times it's how we venerate the saints. For example, venerating their images and their relics, for example. Regardless, our veneration of the saints is perceived as worship and therefore idolatry very often. But the Church's take on the saints can be challenging for Catholics as well. Veteran Catholics might want to know things like, can a saint ever stop being a saint? Or are there non-Catholic saints? recent converts to Catholicism sometimes are uncomfortable with the practice of having a devotion to the saints, so they want to know exactly what is required of them as a new convert. Must they have a devotion to a saint? Must they accept everything a saint writes? And then converts who are okay with the practice often want to know how to have a devotion to the saints that's proper and healthy. It's important that we recognize the particular challenges that Catholic doctrine has regarding the saints. In our conversations, then, if we know what the obstacle is, we can focus our time and attention on making an effective answer as good, solid apologists in regards to the doctrine of the intercession of the saints, which again regards the invocation of them, asking them for help, and also the veneration of them, honoring them. The motivation behind these challenges is understandable if somebody has some of them. We don't want to do anything that contradicts the Bible or takes away from Jesus, nor do we want to engage in pointless attempts at piety. But as we meet these challenges, we'll see that these motivations are simply mistaken when it comes to our Catholic belief about the saints. Their intercession and the honor that we give them, these beliefs are scriptural, and they give great honor to Jesus and his saving work. It's important that we have adequate answers to queries from Catholics as well. Catholics need to know the truth about the saints, and all Catholics have been called by Christ to experience the graces that can flow from having healthy relationships with those fellow Christians who are perfected in him and already in heaven. They are our brothers and sisters, members of the church triumphant in heaven. Together we are the household of God, as 1 Timothy 3:15 says. These notes that I just shared, Jack, are adapted from an article by Carlo Broussard at Catholic Answers regarding his book, The Saints Pray for You, How the Christians in Heaven Help Us on Earth. So again, when we talk about the intercession of the saints, quote, end quote, as Catholics, we are talking about the invocation of them, asking them for prayerful help, intercession help, and also the veneration of them, that is, honoring them as one who has already won the crown that does not wither, huh? They are in union with the beatific vision, the eternal beatitude. They are in heaven with God, right? So I want to inspire our Open Line Tuesday listeners this hour to call in and share a particular devotion you might have with a saint, a particular saint, and why you have a devotion to that particular saint as we progress here through this wonderful month of November, which again is set aside in a special way for the members of the faithful departed, what we call the church suffering, one of the three states of the church, again, also referred to in the church's teaching and documents as members of the church purgative or members of the church penitent, and also as members of the church expectant. But that said, we kicked off this beautiful month of All Holy Souls with the Solemnity of All Saints, where we look at in a special way that day, November 1st of every year, as a solemnity in our liturgy, honoring those who are members of the church triumphant. So if you have a particular devotion to a saint, maybe a blessed, maybe not yet a saint, but on their way through the canonization process, maybe a servant of God, maybe a venerable, give us a call and tell us why that is the case. Have you visited this saint's burial site? Maybe it's a shrine. Maybe it's a parish church where they're buried. Maybe it's a simple country cemetery where they're buried, and their cause was just recently introduced, and their servant of God in their been declared by the diocesan bishop as servant of God, and the process for canonization has now officially opened. But give us a call and give us a witness about your saint, and if you're maybe you're a convert, give us a call and tell us about your conversion to the church, what spearheaded it. Maybe it was a particular devotion to a saint that you came into contact with through a friend who told you about that saint. Anything. Give us a call. Let us talk about this beautiful month of November and talk about the heavenly intercession of the saints.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. Still a couple of open lines for you at 833-288-3986. You know, it's interesting. My oldest child, Robert, is named under the patronage of St. Robert Bellarmine, and the great Jesuit intellectual, mm-hmm. who we were, my daughter and I were in Rome around Easter time in 2016, and We were looking, as anybody who's been to Rome knows, all gelato is not created equal. And we were looking for a particular gelato place, and we got off of the subway at the appropriate stop. And when we got off the subway, there's a church right there at the subway station up on a little hill. So we figured, oh, well, we'll just stop in here and say a prayer before we make our way the rest of the way. And there was something on the outside of the church that identified it as it was a Jesuit church, and we, I don't remember what that was or whatever. So we're just wandering through the church, and lo and behold, here's the remains of Robert Bellarmine.
Wow, that's great.
So, yeah. It was really, really interesting.
Were you able to send your son any pictures of his grave?
Oh, yeah,
grave?
For sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Wonderful.
Yeah, definitely.
Wonderful.
833-288-EWTN. That's our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. And you can also text your question to Father Wade. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Then text us your first name and your brief question. Message and data rates may apply. It's Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question, call 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. Or send us an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Father Wade in studio giving a new meaning to the word screenshot. EWTN Radio brings you the Holy Rosary twice each day for over 30 years. Tune in every morning at 5:30 a.m. Eastern Time for Mother Angelica and every evening at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for Father Benedict Groeschel, only here on EWTN Radio. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. First up today is Perry in Omaha, Nebraska. She's listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Perry, you're on with Father Wade.
Good afternoon, everyone. I had a quick question about something that we do during our homeschooling mornings. We read the Word, and sometimes I say a prayer asking for spiritual communion since we can't go to Mass that day.
Sure.
And my son asked me, can I really receive spiritual communion if I haven't even received my first communion? So I wanted to ask Father Wade, because that sounds like the type of thing he would know more about.
Yes, absolutely. If one has not yet made their first communion, even an adult that's going through the OCIA program, for example, they are most welcome to make a spiritual communion, which can be very, very efficacious for their soul, for their growth in faith, etc., because they have a knowledge and belief in the doctrine of the real presence, right? But they have not formally made their first Holy Communion yet, let alone a six-year-old or a five-year-old, as opposed to a 20-something or 30 or 50-something that's entering the church later on in life. Remember, too, that we have the lives of the saints that showed great knowledge of what the Eucharist was all about, and we know from reading their lives that they sought early communion before the age of reason, and it was granted them. The two that come to mind are Saint Therese and Saint Dominic Savio, and I believe also Saint Maria Goretti received it early as well before the age of seven, because of the famous story that it was so unexpected that the parish priest permitted it, that she and her mother borrowed a first Holy Communion dress from a neighbor lady who had girls of her own. And so she made her first Holy Communion, St. Maria Goretti did, in a borrowed communion dress. So, we have the witness of the saints in that regard. So that's a beautiful thing. But yes, by all means, you can make a spiritual communion if you have not yet made your Holy Communion.
Next stop for us is the Republic of Texas. Jay is watching us on YouTube today. Jay, you're on with Father Wade.
Yes. Happy afternoon, everybody.
Hello, Jay.
Yes, Father. Hello. I wanted to, you're talking about the All Saints Day and how it's commemorative of the saints and everything.
Yes, yes.
And St. Martin of Tours is a very inspirational one to me. And I was just like wondering, he believes in. He's the first conscientious objector, and he, if you're in a situation to where you see things And I don't know, but you don't want to do them.
Right, right. Well, you always have that right, at least here in the United States, to make that conscientious objection, to refrain from entering. You have that right. It could be a health issue. It could be a moral issue, etc. Now, whether or not it's granted is something else, but you have that right in your moral conscience to make that claim to legitimate government authority, you know. And then even if you still have to go in, you can still make a request for something that's non-combative. Again, it would be up to the superiors to grant that or not, but you could still make those further requests, even if you do go in. But St. Martin of Tours was a wonderful saint, is a wonderful saint, I should say. I say was, meaning his life that he lived. There's a beautiful church in his honor in the Diocese of Lafayette, Louisiana. I forget exactly the city that it's in. It's a more of a rural town that it's in, but it is just a magnificent church, the Church of St. Martin of Tours, in the Diocese of Lafayette, Louisiana. You might want to look that up. And since you're in Texas, I'm not sure what part of Texas you're in, but if you're not far from Louisiana, Jay, maybe make a pilgrimage to that church, who is named after that parish church, who is named after the saint that you honor in your own life in a very special way. I think Jack might be looking it up here for us. St. Martin of Tours Church in the Diocese of Lafayette. St. Martinsville?
St. Martinville.
St. Martinville. Okay, very
good. Makes sense.
Yeah, St. Martinville, that's right. So it's the city's probably named after him as well. St. Martinville, Louisiana, is in the Diocese of Lafayette, Louisiana, and it's St. Martin of Tours Church. Have you ever been there by chance, Jay?
No, I've never been there, but I've always been interested in Our Saints Day because, yeah. You know, that's just my birthday.
Yeah, great. Well, who knows? Maybe your birthday will be your Saints Day if you're ever canonized a Saint, Jay, because that's our goal is to become saints, not necessarily a canonized saint. But remember, everyone in heaven is a saint. Not everyone in heaven is a canonized saint. In fact, I have the virtue of hope, one of the three theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity, right? I have the virtue of hope that the greater number in heaven is non-canonized. Why do I say that? Because it's a historical fact. We have only 8 to 10,000 canonized saints in the 2,000-year history of the church. 8 to 10,000. Why is there a 2,000 number discrepancy there? Because the earliest proclamation of saints were not done through a formal canonization process. They were done by proclamation of the people, still subject to the approval of the bishop and ultimately to the universal church. So, for example, you'll hear of the ancient saints, St. Christopher or St. Philomena. They are revered in the Catholic Church, but they had no formal canonization process. So the fact is we have 8 to 10,000 canonized saints, right? Well, my goodness, I hope there's more than 8 to 10,000 souls in heaven, right? You betcha. So that's why I'm saying I have the virtue of hope that the non-canonized outnumber the canonized. So, Jay, thank you so much for your call. God bless you now. Take care.
Mary Ann called in from Cincinnati and was unable to hold on the phone, Father, but she wanted to know if the All Souls Day Mass counted for First Saturday devotion, or should she have gone twice?
Well, she wouldn't have had much luck going twice finding a non-All Souls Mass because that would have been the only Mass that day offered because that's an obligatory memorial officially called a commemoration of All Holy Souls, but for all intents and purposes, an obligatory memorial. Obligatory not meaning you have to go to it. It's not a holy day of obligation. Obligatory meaning it has to be celebrated by the priest that day. So, yes, it did count for your first Saturday.
Marlene is in the great state of Michigan listening on Ave Maria Radio. Marlene, you're on with Father Wade.
Hey, good afternoon, Father Wade. So nice to speak with you.
Well, thank you, Marlene. Thanks for your call.
And what I was telling your screener there, I think the saints draw you closer, or even those that are on their way, they draw you closer into your faith to draw you closer to God the more you dive into learning about them and studying about them.
Yes, I would agree in this respect that we all have our own intellect, will, interests, etc. So when you read the lives of the saints, for example, an abridged version of different lives of the saints, a great one that's out there is Voices of the Saints by Bert Gezzi. Each saint's life is no more than 2 pages long, and he gives a great synopsis of their life. When you read a good, solid, condensed version of the lives of the saints like that, there's certain saints that quote unquote speak to you. They stand out for you. They speak to you. You can relate to them. Maybe it was because they were in a troubled marriage and you, the reader, let's say, whoever the reader is in a troubled marriage. Or maybe they were an avid sportsman and you're an avid sportsman. A husband and father who lost a child. This saint was a husband and father who lost a child. They just speak to you in that regard. And through your own intellect, will, memory, and imagination, calling to mind your own life, your own past life up until this point well lived, and reading now about this saint that has these corollaries with you, in that sense, yes, I think the saint can speak to you, and you're drawn more in through their heavenly intercession, their invocation, and you begin to honor them in a special way. So, you know, some of our Catholic parishes are named after, you know, the three divine persons. We have the Holy Spirit Catholic Church. We have Sacred Heart Catholic Church, for example. But most of our parishes are named after saints because the saints have won the crown that does not wither. They are now in a state of mediation, which is something that God's always required. We see this in the Old Testament. And in Jesus Christ as the chief mediator, capital C, capital M, we have the chief mediator in Jesus Christ. All the prophets have now stopped with him, right? John the Baptist was the last of the prophets, and he's the one on the threshold between the Old and New Testament. And then his cousin comes, and John says, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world." So God has always desired mediation, and now the saints can intercede for us in a type of mediation that God rejoices over because they've already won the crown that does not wither, and they are in union in the beatific vision or the eternal beatitude that they share with God in heaven. They are beholding the beatific vision face to face. And so we look to the saints in a special way. And it's pretty awesome that parishes are named after saints because now we have members of the church going to that parish church who are striving for that same holiness. And so we have our parishes named after patron saints as well. Thank you for your call and question. God bless.
833-288-EWTN. That's our toll-free number. It is a free telephone call anywhere in North America. 833-288-3986. Lydia's in Midland, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Lydia, you're on with Father Wade.
Hi, Father Wade.
Hello, how are you?
I'm so happy to talk to you because I always see you doing masses on EWTN once in a while. So always so happy to see you there. I just wanted to share my story with you because, you know, I have faith in God and I pray and I do my rosaries and everything. And anyway, life brings us issues. But when you have faith, I know everything's going to be okay. But one day my husband had a stroke in the early part of May, and my mama had triple bypass surgery, and I had 2 kids to take care of, and I just said to myself, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? How am I going to pay all the bills and everything? And I know I pray to God all the time. So I had a dream of Santo Niño de Atocha, and he told me everything's going to be fine. And I wake up the next morning, and I told my mom, I said, what's the name of that saint that has a little cloak and a little staff and has a hat? And she said it was Santo Niño de Atocha. And I told her, I said, Mom, he told me everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, and that's the end.
Oh, man, that's a wonderful dream.
Beautiful. You know, that's an image of the Christ child. For those of you listening right now, the Santo Niño de Atocha is a Roman Catholic image of the Christ child, also known as the Holy Infant of Atocha, the Holy Child of Atocha, or the Wise Child of Atocha. The image depicts a young male pilgrim carrying a little basket, a staff, and drinking gourd, and wearing a cape with a scallop shell. Now, the scallop shell symbolizes a pilgrimage to St. James Cathedral, Santiago de Compostela, and the image is popular in Hispanic cultures. Thank you so much for that witness, Lydia. We really appreciate it.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. It's Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade Menezes.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Congratulations going out to our longtime EWTN radio partner, WOPG AM and FM, serving Greater Albany and Schenectady, New York. They're celebrating 14 years with EWTN. Congratulations to Tom and Laura Threlkeld and their great team at Poxit Bonham Radio from your friends here at EWTN. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. Next up is Joshua in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, listening on Oklahoma Catholic Broadcasting. Joshua, you're on with Father Wade.
Hello, Father Wade. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon there.
It is such a pleasure to actually be able to talk with you, Father. I've actually discerned a little bit with the Fathers of Mercy back a long time ago.
Okay. All right.
I'm at work, and as I got into my vehicle, I heard the conversation about conversions and what prompted them. And I'm an actual convert to the Catholic Church from Protestant denominations. And I was actually introduced to the church from a friend of mine in choir.
Okay.
While we were on a trip to Walt Disney World during Lent, and this schoolmate of mine pulled out her rosary to pray after eating a very pathetic-looking salad on a Friday while we were enjoying this theme park. And I'm a curious person, like, what are you doing? I can help you with food if you need it. She's like, no, it's Lent. It's part of my religious obligation. And, of course, I've never heard of Lent. I'm like, it's the thing in your belly button. What's going on? And she took the time to explain to me what Lent was. She explained her rosary to me and actually gave it to me.
Wow. Wow. And, very other center. And that had you start looking into the Catholic faith?
It did. It did. 3 years later, I graduated from high school, and 3 years later, I converted into the church April 7th, 2027.
Wow.
Sorry, 2007. And what's really funny, though, is during all of this process, you talk about the saints. I have one saint who I say she stalks me. And I say that in a really good way because I know how I am. You know, to quote the old hymn, my heart is prone to wander and I know it.
Okay.
And I really feel that this particular saint is there with her.
And who is it? Who is it? Just in the essence of time, Joshua, who is it?
Yes, Thérèse of Lisieux.
Okay, there you have it. Little flower, show us your power.
Great. Yes, and I've actually taken her, yeah.
Well, great. One of the great female doctors of the church, one of the great doctors of the church, known for her doctrine of the little way, faithfulness to daily duty, do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it and the way it's supposed to be done, and you can become a great saint. And of course, her biography is a spiritual classic in the life of the church, Story of a Soul. And her parents are canonized, Louis and Zélie Martin. Her parents are now canonized saints, the first husband and wife to go through the process of canonization together from the introduction of the cause till their canonization day. The very first husband and wife to be canonized together in the 2,000-year history of the church, and their feast day is July 12th, their wedding anniversary. How beautiful is that? Thank you so much for a great witness there on St. Thérèse and for your entrance into this church. And I like your friend, the way you describe her. She had the wherewithal as a good Catholic young lady to have a simple salad during Lent, but yet wanted to go to Disney World and have a good time.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. We got a text from Dana, and she wants to know, I'm a convert and have the opportunity to venerate the relic of St. Jude. Exactly what is veneration, and how do I do it?
Yeah, great question. So as far as veneration goes, you know, we venerate the saints. We do not give them worship. That needs to be explained right off the bat. So we have worship and veneration. veneration is given to the saints and angels, and the highest of veneration is given to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And the three Greek terms that are Latinized terms now to show this distinction is latria. Latria is worship, properly speaking. It's given to the three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Dulia, D-U-L-I-A, is veneration, not worship. It's given to the angels and saints. And hyperdulia means the greatest of veneration, and it's given to the Blessed Virgin Mary. So in talking about dulia then, that is to say veneration properly speaking, it is the honor paid to the saints who by their intercession and example and in their possession of God minister to human sanctification, helping the faithful grow in Christian virtue. Venerating the saints does not detract at all from the glory given to God alone, which is worship, since whatever good the saints possess is a gift from His good bounty to them. They reflect the divine perfections of God, and their supernatural qualities result from the graces Christ merited for them from the cross and by the cross on that Good Friday that He died. In the language of the Church's liturgy, the saints are venerated as sanctuaries of the Trinity, as adopted children of the Father, brethren of Christ the Son, and faithful members of His mystical body and temples of the Holy Spirit. So there you have it. That is the meaning that we give veneration when we talk about veneration, properly speaking, dulia, that is, separate from latria, which is worship, properly speaking, given only to the three divine persons.
Robert is in the great state of Kansas, listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Robert, you're on with Father Wade.
Hi, Father Wade. How are you today?
Doing great, Robert.
I just wanted to lift up St. Padre Pio. I've recently gone through battles with cancer, and as of last April, I'm in remission for a second time.
Oh, well, praise God.
And I use healing prayers daily. So that, and I have a guardian angel that I've nicknamed Warrior, because I don't really know the name. So that just seemed like an appropriate thing. He's walked me through this, so.
Right.
Just wanted to venerate them. And I had a little kind of an oddball question. I pray rosary daily, but I also like to do the mercy chaplet. But
sure.
Here recently, if I'm driving around in the afternoon, I kind of mix them together. It's not probably proper, but I was wondering if there's anything wrong with it. I'll do a decade of Hail Marys and venerate her, and then I'll turn around and do a decade of the mercy chaplet. So
nothing.
Kind of was wondering if that's okay or not.
Yeah, you mentioned to our call screener, Matt, that you do a Divine Mercy Chaplet Rosary hybrid. And I thought that was kind of innovative. You are most welcome to do that. You know, you're not praying either prayer publicly. You're by yourself. It's your own personal piety. You're drawing fruit from it, and that it's drawing you deeper into vocal prayer. There's nothing wrong with that at all. It's not something that, a parish pastor would want to do with his people, at least not on a regular basis, because you don't want to confuse the faithful in regards to a chaplet properly speaking and a rosary properly speaking. You want to introduce them into both devotions. But then once you know both devotions on a personal pietistic scale, if you will, you are most welcome to do that hybrid Divine Mercy Chaplet and Rosary. In fact, I do something kind of similar myself when I pray for world peace, because I want our Heavenly Father to have mercy on the whole world, and I also want Our Lady of Fatima to guide us into world peace. And so I do something similar on my own. So that's a great witness. That's a fantastic witness. And then as far as your introduction to Padre Pio, how did that come about?
Oh, surprisingly enough, it was on a YouTube with the prayer that he had for him. So
great.
I would highly lift that up for other people who are going through chronic illness. I mean, it's just been a blessing, and I've had a second chance on life here. And you were talking about Spain. I just had been over to Santiago Capistrano, and then I've been to the end of the earth, whatever they call that. And then I also got to go to Valencia and see one of the possible chalices that Jesus used. So then I've been to Ephesus. I've been all over where Paul's been, and it's just just been spiritual growth wonderfully.
Well, wonderful, Matt. And I'm going to offer my compliment this evening in Thanksgiving for your second time of remission here, and we pray that that sticks. And I've heard so many witness stories about Padre Pio when it comes specifically to illness, and he's a powerful intercessor, no doubt. Thank you so much, Matt, for a great witness call. We appreciate it.
Still plenty of time for your calls and some open lines at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. By the way, we received another text from Terry, and she wants to know, what is a proto-notary apostolic?
That's a great question. You know, I only recently heard of that title of a cleric fairly recently, because I'm not well versed in canon law on these particular titles. So I had to look it up again a second time just now when I saw her call come in from the call screener. But it's a title for a member of the highest non-episcopal college of prelates in the Roman Curia. And it's a very high papal office that's granted by the Pope. They were often raised directly to this office as a preliminary stage to the cardinalate. And so they could become a cardinal, but they won't necessarily become a cardinal. And so again, a proto-notary apostolic would be a member of the Roman Catholic College of 12 prelates whose duty it is to register papal acts, proceedings of canonization, and similar acts. They can become cardinals, but they won't necessarily become cardinals. And it's a high office that's granted and named as such by the Pope himself.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. Pick up the phone and give us a call at 833-288-3986. Matt is in Grand Rapids, Michigan, listening on the EWTN podcast. Matt, you're on with Father Wade.
Hi, Father Wade. This is Matt, and I actually usually listen to the podcast, but you caught me on my last mile, my six-mile run.
Okay.
And I kind of have a comment and a testimony.
Okay, great.
68 years old, two years ago, heart surgery, major heart surgery. 1 year ago, I got hit by a garbage truck and ended up in trauma unit. And I don't know which one of you guys said this, but going down, we're all called to be saints, okay? And someone said it was either you or Marcus Peter when he did, said that All Saints Day, even though we're not listed in the Catholic book as a saint, that can cover us as a saint, All Saints Day, so that would include us. So that's just a comment I want to make, but I also wanted to say that my patron saint is Saint Matthew, gift from Yahweh, because my name's Matthew. Interesting enough, I've been journalizing, and I love to write since I was, since 1973, I'm 68 years old now. And the other interesting thing, you brought up books, Lives of the Saints.
Yes.
And my wife, about 5 years ago, gave me the first one. It's blue. And I use that as my morning devotion. So I read that Lives of the Saints. And that's one that usually each one for the day,
right,
is the same one that the church designates.
Sure.
And so I got done with that. I did that 2 years in a row. But then she gave me Lives of the Saints 2. Now, these are saints I never heard of. And honestly, I can hardly pronounce a lot of their names, but I do the best I can. And so I use these books every day. And I've been through both of them at least twice, one of them 3 times. And the last thing I want to say is when someone asked me to describe what are the saints, what are they about? And I said, imagine, you know, praying and then you die. And then imagine you're in a coliseum, you're going through this tunnel, okay, you're going through this tunnel, then you enter the coliseum and it's packed with all these, and they're all the saints, and they are cheering for you like you would not believe you made it. And oh, that's what I want to say. And I want to thank between you, Father Wade, Marcus Peter, Father Ricardo, Dr. Ray, you guys got me through some long, long training runs for marathons or half marathons. So thank you so much for your program.
Well, we appreciate that,
great
Matt.
Great inspiration.
Matt, we appreciate that. But do we have to include Dr. Ray in that? I'm just teasing. I joke. I gave a men's conference one time with Dr. Ray. It was the two of us as the speakers. It was in Idaho. And then I joked with him afterwards. I says, Dr. Ray, after doing a retreat with you now I need a retreat. Matt, thanks for a great witness. We really appreciate it.
Grace is up next, a first-time caller in Billings, Montana, listening on KJCR Radio, Billings Catholic Radio. Grace, you're on with Father Wade.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I was just wondering if Father Wade could remark, I read the story about this saint not too long ago, and his name was Saint Mark, and he suffered from addiction. And, like, his priest wouldn't let him receive sacraments for a long while because he didn't feel like he was, you know, really contrite with contrition and stuff. And so,
sure.
But anyway, he ended up being martyred, and I think he may have prayed to be a martyr because he felt like that was the only way he could.
You have him listed down as a Chinese martyr. What decade would this have been? What century? This last century? Current century? I mean...
I'm not sure. Whoever screened said that he is in the article of the National Catholic Register this month.
Okay, I'll have to look that up. I'm not aware of a Chinese martyr of this past century with an opium addiction. I'll have to look that up myself. But, you know, many of the saints, I'll tell you this, Grace, many of the saints suffered from particular issues, dependencies, and addictions. I have a CD, a retreat series that I make available at fathersofmercy.com called, or titled, Return of the Prodigal to the Father through the Son and the Holy Spirit. And it's specifically about saints and blesseds of the Church who suffered from particular issues, dependencies, and addictions. So, for example, St. Augustine with his lust addiction. St. Padre Pio, for a period, suffered from an unjust anger. We also had St. Teresa of Avila, who was known to be a little bit of a controller, a little bit of a control freak, you know, very choleric in temperament. Blessed Bartolo Longo was involved in Satanism and the occult. St. Camillus suffered from a gambling addiction. St. Therese suffered from a type of narcissism as a young girl that she admitted later when she grew up that it was a very severe narcissism, even though she was young. So things like that. So the saints suffer from particular issues, dependencies, and addictions, and we want to be careful to not cut them off just because of that, because they ended up having massive conversions and they ended up getting the memo by the time they died, so much so that by the time they did die, the people that knew them, you know, clamored at the local bishop that their causes be introduced. And so, you know, Dorothy Day, it's a known fact now that there's a group of individuals studying for her possible cause to be introduced. And so she was a great Catholic social worker movement who has a history of an abortion in her background, right? I talked about St. Therese's parents, Louis and Zélie Martin. So there's just a whole host of saints of all stripes and everything else, and we look to them. But I'm going to look up this Chinese martyr. I'll make a note of it and look it up. Thank you so much, Grace, for your call.
Next stop for us is Indian River, Michigan. Kathy is listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Kathy, you're on with Father Wade. Hi, Kathy. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
You're on with Father Wade. Go right ahead.
Hi, Father. Thank you for taking my call. I have listened to EWTN radio and watched programs, and it's made me realize that I have been to confession for a relationship that I had been, a sinful relationship that I was in over 50 years ago.
Okay.
And it bothered me, so I went to confession, and I confessed the sin. But as time has gone on, I realized that I received communion, I went to confession, I went to Mass during that period. And is that something I should confess in confession now?
Yes, it would be wise. It would be wise to do so. Make it very simple. There's no need for a long, drawn-out explanation to your confessor that day. If it happens to be the same confessor, or if it doesn't happen to be the same confessor, that's irrelevant. Say, Father, say something along these lines. Father, I confessed, you know, however many months ago, approximately 3 months ago, a relationship that I was in that was a sinful relationship for over 50 years ago, and that's already confessed. But what I did not mention, Father, during that confession, although the confessor probably understood it to be so, but I didn't get to verbalize it. I also continued to receive Holy Communion during that time, and lapsed myself from the sacrament of confession during that time. So whatever number of times those were, Father, for those sacrilegious communions and for missing my annual confession duty, at least annual confession duty, which is one of the five precept laws of the church, I'm sorry for that. That's all you need to say. There's no need to go back into the illicit relationship that took place 50 years ago. That's been confessed already. But you do want to let the current confessor know that much, that it's been confessed already, but what you didn't confess that day, 2 or 3 months ago, when you confessed the illicit relationship of 50 plus years ago, you forgot to confess or did not confess the bad communions of all those years or whatever, and the annual periods that you missed your confessions. So your confessor that day, when you confess the illicit relationship, the immoral relationship of over 50 years ago, he probably took that into consideration with his absolution, but it's still important for you to enunciate it. That is to say, he probably took into consideration the fact that you had sacrilegious communions. That said, it's still important for you to enunciate that according to kind and approximate number. And your approximate number in this case will be more so the number of years. If you know the approximate number of communions, bad communions, say that. Even if it's around 200, say 250, whatever. Just, it only has to be approximate. Look, there's no need for scrupulosity here. I'm not saying that you're suffering from scruples, but I have a duty to say this because other listeners might be listening to this. There is no need for scrupulosity. The church does not ask for the exact number. She asks for the approximate number. And there's no need for you to go back and reconfess the sinful relationship. That's been confessed. Does that make sense? I want to ask you, does that make sense, Kathy?
Yes, it does.
The confession is meant to propel us forward. Confession is not meant to keep us harnessed in our past or to keep us docked like a boat in a dock. No, each and every confession is meant to propel us forward and to move forward and to go forward. Now, if we forget something that we didn't confess from a previous confession, if it's venial, we should let it go and make an act of contrition. But if we remember something like you have that's more serious, like bad communions, then yes, those should be enunciated in the next confession. Great series of questions, Kathy, and a great witness call. Thank you so much. And you're on your way to becoming a great saint.
You know, it's National Vocations Awareness Week. This week-long celebration is dedicated to promoting vocations to the priesthood, diaconate, and consecrated life through prayer and education, and to renew our prayers and support for those who are considering one of these particular vocations, perhaps to the Fathers of Mercy.
Amen.
Amen. Tom is in Houston, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio.
That is male, 18 to 40, of course, Jack.
Yeah. Looking for a dynamic preaching apostolate.
Yes, that's right.
Preaching apostolate. Tom is in Houston, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Tom, you're on with Father Wade.
Good afternoon. I'll be brief. Had inoperable cancer. Surgery was a success, but I spent 2 months in the hospital with massive infections and abstract misery. Asked my wife to bring me a book, and in that book, I found a little card from St. Gemma. And as we know, she suffered greatly. And I offered up my pain in reparation for my sins of the past and asked St. Gemma to help me. And here I am, walking like nothing ever happened.
Well, praise God. That's St. Gemma Galgani. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yes, very powerful young female saint, attacked at one point in her life incessantly by the devil, very similar to what the Curé of Ars, St. Jean-Marie Vianney, experienced with the devil tormenting her, and had her own sufferings in life, and yet was very, very faithful, very, very other-centered, was not self-centered at all, and another great saint of the Catholic Church, and a great saint for young people, I might add as well. Tom, thank you so much for a great witness call about that, and God bless you, and I will lift you up tonight as well during my compline, when I pray my compline for your good health. God bless you now.
You know, one of the best places, not there's lots of great places to venerate the saints and be reminded of the saints, but one of the best ones that I've experienced is the chapel in Auburn, Kentucky at the Fathers of Mercy Generalate House. There's some compelling artwork in that chapel.
There is, and we also have a reliquary of roughly just over 120 relics of saints. up on the left side wall as you approach the sanctuary and walking towards the altar, most of whom have been canonized or declared blessed just in the last 150 years, and many of them canonized or declared blessed by John Paul II. So, and then we have the artwork as well, and we also have the six saint statues, three on each side as you're walking up the side nave, the main aisle of the chapel on either side of the nave. We have three saints statues on either side for a total of six. So yes, it is a beautiful chapel that shows forth the mercy of God extended to these individuals who, again, had their own faux pas, their issues, their dependencies, their addictions. And so we want to give that knowledge of God's mercy to everyone we talk to who is suffering at the same time. And that's something very important to remember to do. You and Johnette have been there, what, a couple times, right?
I've been there once. She's never been there.
Oh, okay. She's never been there. Well, yeah. We got to get her there.
She was off gallivanting somewhere. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go to the Fathers of Mercy and check
great.
It out. And
that's
you were
right.
not there that particular Saturday that I was there. But
gee, imagine that.
Father Ken was there, but he was still the vocations director, and he was strolling with a prospective aspirant, so
okay.
I didn't get to talk to him either, but being there was worth being there, that's for sure.
Amen. Well, thank you,
Would
Jack.
You leave us with a blessing,
I
Father?
Certainly will, Jack. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of our Open Line Tuesday listeners and remain with each and every one of you this day and always. St. Joseph, terror of demons.
Pray for us. On behalf of our host, Father Wade Menezes, our producer, Michael McCall, call screener, Matt Kubensky, and our social media maven, Mr. Ace McKay. I'm Jack Williams. Thanks so much for tuning in. Back at it tomorrow with Father Mitch. Until we get together then, God bless.